Tribeca,
the podcast for London lovers, Anglophiles and critical believers. RevLab. Welcome to a new episode of More Tribeca, the podcast for Anglophiles, London enthusiasts and critical believers. I am Carla Maurer, Vicar of the Swiss Church in London, and I'm talking to people who inspire me and our church in the heart of Covent Garden. One of the challenges and joys of the ministry at the Swiss Church is the frequent coming and going of people. For many Swiss people, London is a place of transit, a stepping stone for ambitious careers, a once-in-a-lifetime experience of the big city dream, before moving on to Hong Kong, Paris, Berlin, Mexico, or back to Switzerland. I have worked with many fantastic colleagues over the years, in our consistoire, which is the church council, and in our team, passionate community builders with great ideas and a fire for change. But often the farewells came far too soon. Today, I'm speaking to Lilian Jost, who first came to the Swiss Church for an internship fresh from high school in Switzerland. But because she loved London so much and she fitted in so well with the team, she stayed on for another year as community worker. She was in charge of the weekly homeless breakfast and she organised events such as Swiss National Days and Fondue Evenings. Then, Lily, a vicar's daughter, could no longer resist the inner call to train as a church minister herself, and she left London to study theology, first in Zurich and Heidelberg, and now in Berlin. Lily and her girlfriend Lydia will forever have a very special place in my personal COVID-19 memory. They were our very last visitors at the vicarage before the first lockdown began. And it was with Lily and Lydia that I went to see my last major West End show, the musical The Prince of Egypt, in a fully packed theatre before the theatres shut their doors for 1.5 years. With Lily, I speak about her experiences of being a student during the pandemic, her fascinations for cemeteries, queer theology, and Lily will also share her favourite books with us. Hi, Lily.
Hello.
So today I'm talking to Lilian Jost. She is known as the former community worker of the Swiss Church, and she's now a student of theology in Berlin. Hi, Lily. Hi to Berlin.
Hello. Welcome to my lovely little flat where I sit in my hallway because that's the only place where I can study.
Well, you have to describe it because people can actually only hear it and not see it. So where do you live?
I live in Berlin in a little nice flat with my girlfriend, who's a student of theology as well. Well, we were hoping for, you know, regular uni, but it's all digital. And so I built a little desk in this little nook in my hallway, which is where I've been sitting for a year.
I actually wanted to suggest to you to more or less pick the topic you want to start with. I have a few things I wanted to ask you, but I think you already made a start because I did want to ask you how it is to be a student during a pandemic and how that has impacted on you, you know, your friends, on university life and all that. What have you been through?
It's COVID. I think everybody's had enough of it and everybody's had their fair share of difficulties. I think we as students have kind of been neglected by politics in Germany. I think that's kind of what we've all been feeling the past months because we're not systemrelevant, as you say here. It seems that we're not producing wealth and money, we kind of been forgotten and unis have still not reopened. And the concepts are meagre at least at most. So. But we're dealing with it, you know.
No, I can imagine. I think you moved to Berlin only just before the pandemic started. Is that right?
It was actually last summer, so we've already couple of months in, we were just very optimistic.
Oh, right. You thought it's going to end in a few weeks' time. So it was a few months into the pandemic. You arrived in Berlin in a flat that you shared, two of you. Then what? I mean, usually you would have something like Freshers' Week or some student parties to get to know each other. But how did your day-to-day look like when you moved to Berlin?
Well, there wasn't really any Freshers' Week, sadly. Luckily I met some people through Zoom courses. I made one or two friends, which is very nice. And funnily enough, they live very close by. Even here in Berlin, my new friends are super close. It's just been a lot of sitting indoors and not being able to meet people, which is, I think, a big part of uni is meeting people. But I just tried to get to know Berlin, but not indoors, just outdoors. I've taken a lot of walks to cemeteries. That's been nice.
Cemeteries?
Yes, I love cemeteries.
What do you love about cemeteries?
I love Highgate Cemetery in London. I think it's one of the coolest places. And the cemeteries in Berlin are just full of history and full of, interesting, intricate graves. And they're just cooler parks because there's no people with dogs. No one is running. It's quiet. There's trees and there's benches.
So do you go there to study sometimes?
Yeah, when it was warm enough. Yeah, sure, yeah.
So going back to your online classes, I'm just trying to get my head around how that works. So you are in a seminar online with loads of people. You see their faces on the screen, I presume.
Yeah.
Because you don't have those coffee breaks where you would meet people kind of more informally. So how does that work? Do you like someone particularly and then you message them and have a more kind of private chat, informal chat? Or how does that work to get to know someone?
It is difficult. I wish the professors would kind of leave the Zoom rooms open after the course so that we could keep chatting, but usually they just either forget or are not aware of that possibility. So really, usually we just click away and say goodbye like you would in a regular Zoom meeting. So doesn't really leave much room for human interaction. But we started a book club. We're book clubbing some people from uni that I don't know yet. And we're doing that via Zoom as well.
Okay. And so do you have any, can you meet up with fellow students at the moment or?
It's getting more open and we're meeting some new people today that we haven't met that's studying theology as well.
So maybe just to talk about theology in general, why do you study theology and what are your plans looking forward?
Oh, wow. Big question. I think I study theology because it does combine my big interest in languages and history and philosophy. And because I think that I'm good at it and I can offer something to it and to the church where I'm going to be working in the future. And I think I did learn a lot, especially at the Swiss church, about what church can be. And I think that did inspire me to, stick with it.
What kind of church do you hope there will be or you can build in the future? Or what should church be?
I think it's really nice when the people who are part of the church, the congregation, actually feels like they're part of a congregation, feel like they're part of a community, and that they're able to, ask questions and organize things themselves. And it's not just, the vicar who organizes things for them. I think it's very cool when it's a more democratic club and one that it's very open and very open for people from all parts of life. I think many people are, spiritual but not religious, and I hope that those people can maybe find a home in the church, because I think community is something that is lacking from that sort of individualistic spirituality field.
And maybe it's even more important now than ever as we're coming out of this pandemic, hopefully at some point for good, to go back to real communities.
Now I'm also thinking that maybe the classical parish church might have lost some members because people have found online services that they found more attractive, and they're far away geographically but very easy to connect to digitally.
Well, how did you connect with church during the pandemic and during the lockdowns?
I didn't really. They kind of lost me.
Well, I guess you study theology, so you're kind of in the middle of it anyway in some ways.
And I just had a lot of online classes and I just couldn't do any more Zoom during my spare time, and I felt kind of bad about it. And I tried sometimes, but I just want real interaction.
Well, you went to the cemetery.
Yeah, well, that was good interaction.
Your spiritual moments.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned Highgate Cemetery, and one question I wanted to ask you are your memories of London and what you miss most about London, and maybe also about the Swiss church.
Well, I really miss London. I think I had a really good time. And I miss my choir. I had a really cool choir, London International Choir. And I just think singing is such a good thing for community building. And I miss cool little office at the Swiss church overlooking the main space. That was really nice. I live in Berlin now. Berlin is just as great. But free museums, that was top-notch London stuff.
And maybe I have to mention as well that you and Lydia were our last visitors before the lockdown. And we went to see musical, The Prince of Egypt.
Musicals, yes.
If you think back about this evening now, I mean, it was mid-February and the pandemic was already in full swing, but no one really knew about it or ignored it. And we were in that fully packed theatre. It was Valentine's Day, I remember that, 14th of February.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the last visit pre-pandemic.
We heard on the news that there was the first COVID case in Brighton, and we were kind of, you know, unaware. Little did we know, we were just kind of joking about it, that now it's hit Europe.
Last pre-pandemic memories. I also wanted to ask you about your favorite places in Switzerland.
I don't know. I really like the village that my parents were, that we moved to when I was 18. I'd never, you know, properly lived there because it was only a few years before I moved away. But that's a small little village in the Zürcher Unterland. It's just very idyllic. And I always feel like I'm on holiday when I'm there. But I also love the Lake Constance-Bodensee area because that's where I grew up for until I was 9 years old. And that's where my grandma still lives.
And of course, your parents are vicars too. Did you always think that you would follow in like her path, or was it more like, oh no, I never want to become a vicar, and then somehow you ended up there anyway?
Yes, very much the latter. Because my grandfather is a vicar, a retired vicar, and he has three daughters, and two of them became vicars, and now those two have, my mum and my aunt each have a daughter who studies theology and is becoming a vicar. So it's a family business, and I never thought I'd enter it.
I think one of the things I wanted to talk to you about as well, you initiated together with your girlfriend Lydia, you initiated Rainbow Church services for queer students, and I think meeting platforms as well. What motivated you, and can you tell us a bit more about that?
So basically, yes, we're doing queer church services. We started in Heidelberg, but now obviously we're not living in Heidelberg anymore, but we're still very much part of that group. And we were on a on a summer trip, like with university in Greece, in 2018, with a couple of students and our, you know, our tutor who wanted to show us where the Apostle Paul had been in Greece. And on that trip, we realized that there's quite a bunch, you know, there's a big bunch of queer students in Heidelberg, but there's not really any meeting platform, anything. And usually queer spaces are very anti-religious, for, you know, good reasons, and religious spaces are not very queer inclusive. So we started that church service series, and we're still going strong, and we're still getting new members, and we're trying to, you know, spread the gospel of the queer church further than just Heidelberg.
What's the gospel of the queer church?
The gospel of the queer church is that queer people are just as much, you know, God's very good creation, and that we have so much to give and were not heard in the past. And I just don't want queer kids to feel like they don't have a place in the church. And I think a lot of queer kids just feel that way. And I want them to maybe find us and see that we're here and we're queer and we're doing churchy stuff, and that's cool.
And can you maybe just explain to, just to make sure that all our listeners know, what is queer? How do you define queer?
Yeah, well, queer is an umbrella term, meaning it doesn't, you know, there's not a identity that you have to have. If you say you're queer, you can be, you know, any lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex, asexual, identify as anything pretty much but heterosexual and cisgender. Cisgender being where you identify with the gender that you were assigned at birth. And queer is just a very big term that kind of invites people to come together.
And in the rainbow services that you initiated, what did you do? Or how were they maybe also different? Or how were they the same of, let's say, your standard Sunday morning service?
Yeah, that was a big discussion in the beginning. How similar do we want to be to your regular Sunday morning service? And well, first of all, the first one was on a Wednesday evening, so, you know, revolutionary. And we tried to kind of stick to a more traditional, in air quotes, form of service. So we had the, you know, a liturgy, and we had a sermon, and we had organ playing. A friend plays the organ. And we just tried to include the message in the sermon and in the prayers that we said, and in the Eucharist liturgy. So, and we had, you know, rainbow flags everywhere, and everybody knew that we were queer and we said it.
So as a student of theology, future minister, being queer yourself, what would you say to people who identify as queer and find there is no space for me in the church, or they struggle with faith, they struggle with God, or they think that's not for me? What is your message?
I think that those feelings are extremely valid, and everybody has the right to feel that. And if somebody decides to, you know, not be a member of the organized church anymore, then I understand. I also hope that there's some people who realize that, you know, what the Bible has to say, or what religion and Christianity has to say, is actually way more than what the old white men throughout history turned it into. And that all sorts of people are, you know, part of the body of Christ, and that they're just as valid and beautiful and queer as everybody else.
And what can church communities do to be more inclusive?
I think you can have confirmation age, or even for children, you can talk about inclusive subjects, not just queerness, but also like do anti-racist work and anti-ableist work. Just be really inclusive and open. And you can have queer church services, and you can, as a vicar or as a minister or as someone working in the church, like signal openly that you're there for people to talk to. Because maybe sometimes a vicar is very open, but doesn't just ever declare it openly. And so maybe queer church members are still scared, even though they have nothing to worry about.
I asked you to bring a few book tips, some of your favorite books, to the podcast to introduce to our listeners. Do you have a small reading list you can give us?
Yes, I do. I've got a few. You may have to stop me because I love reading. There's a book called, I got it next to me, I've got to look at the title. It's by Vicky Beeching, and it's called Undivided, and it's a memoir of, Vicky Beeching, she's one of the biggest Christian pop stars of the past years, and she grew up in very evangelical circles and realized that she was gay very early on, but her church wasn't supportive. And then she became this big pop star, and part of her contract was that she wasn't allowed to talk about her sexuality ever. And she really, really suffered. And she eventually came out as gay and lost her contract, her music contract, and her church kind of turned their back on her. But now she's a LGBTQ advocate, and it's a very inspiring, beautiful, queer Christian memoir. Would highly, highly recommend.
She lives in London, doesn't she?
I think she does, yes. Yes. Yeah, she's British, and I think she lives in London. Yeah. And I've got another one. It's a German one. It's called Eine Frau zu sehen by Annemarie Schwarzenbach. And Annemarie Schwarzenbach, some might be familiar with her. She lived in the early 20th century and grew up in quite a wealthy family, and then lived in I think, the Democratic Republic of Congo for a while. And I think she was like a travel photographer and writer. Hope I'm getting that right. And she wrote a little manuscript about a young woman in St. Moritz in, I think, 1921, falling in love with a glamorous woman that she met in that hotel. And it's only about 60 pages long, and it was forgotten, that manuscript. And I think her great nephew or something found that manuscript in an archive and bound it together and published it as a book. And it's quite angsty, young lesbian version of, yeah, well, it's just her falling in love with this beautiful woman.
Okay, so from Annemarie Schwarzenbach, and what do you have any other recommendations?
I just read Transcendent Kingdom by Ya Jiasi. I hope that's the pronunciation. She's a Ghanaian-American writer who wrote Homegoing. And now Transcendent Kingdom is her second book. And it's also about kind of like a young woman's struggle with her Christian background and her evangelical church. And then she grows up to become a like hard-hitting scientist who does experiments on mice brains. And it's sort of written in stream of consciousness, but I devoured it in 2 days.
I have to read that. She's one of my favorite writers of all times. Yeah, Homegoing is one of my favorite books, but I haven't read that.
I haven't read it yet. I'm very excited to read it now.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, it's really, really good. Yeah. Thank you very much for those recommendations. It adds to my reading list. My reading list is getting longer and longer and longer.
Oh, mine too, mine too.
What is so fascinating about reading?
Oh man, everything. I just love that you get to just stare at a bunch of, you know, dead trees, aka paper, and then hallucinate vividly and imagine stories in your own head.
Do you ever read on an electronic device or paper books?
Yeah, I do sometimes. I prefer kind of like physical books, but I'm listening to lots and lots of audiobooks recently. And I think everybody who says that audiobooks don't count, they're wrong.
Can you concentrate the same when you listen to audiobooks?
Yeah, I can even do stuff like while I'm listening to audiobooks. So that's even better.
I think reading saved us through the pandemic somehow.
Yes, definitely.
And what are you reading in the book club?
We're now starting to read Untamed. It's a feminist memoir as well. And so we're not reading theology books. That was the aim of the book club.
I'll look that up and then we can put it in the show notes as well. Lily, what else would you like to tell us from Berlin or ask or even like a message to the Swiss Church congregation? You know them really well. They know you really well.
Yes, well, hello. Anybody here still knows me? I hope I can see you again soon. If anybody's in Berlin, hit me up. I'll show you around, show you all the cemeteries because I've got like a tour now, a walking tour of about 6 cemeteries. So if anybody's interested, hit me up. I've got the stories now.
Well, I'll definitely take you up on that because I miss Berlin and that's certainly one of the next stops once we can.
Let me know.
Yeah, and we can go and have a tour the cemeteries in Berlin.
I just got a book by my friends because they know I'm obsessed with cemeteries. They got me a book, 11 Berlin Cemeteries You Have to See Before You Die.
Well, it's a book I bought, The End of the Road, and it's a guy who bought a British big black funeral car and transferred it into a van. Mm-hmm. And he drove across Britain. I haven't read it yet, but then drove across Britain to think about death. And he went to cemeteries and life and death and all that. And it's kind of it's a memoir of his trip in that converted funeral limousine through Britain. I'll let you know. I haven't read it yet, but I thought it was really intriguing.
Yes, read it and let me know. It's my kind of jam.
Brilliant. It was so good to talk to you, Lily.
You too.
And I hope we see you soon again in London or in Berlin and that you can return to university very, very soon and do the proper socializing that you should be doing as a student.
Yeah, I hope Delta doesn't hit us before we can open in October.
Yeah, it doesn't seem too bad here at the moment, but you just never know how it develops. Yeah, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed to you too.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye. You can find Lily's book recommendations in the show notes. And if you would like to know more about the Swiss Church, visit www.swisschurchlondon.org.uk. Or you can follow us on Instagram at Swiss Church London or at Swiss Church Vicar. And you will find us also on Facebook. Thank you for listening in today, and we will be back soon with more episodes of More Tea Vicar. RevLab.